And this is Coast Community Radio. Now, I know you must be there in Halifax, and I'm thinking you may be there in London, too. And maybe Norway, maybe Manhattan, maybe Long Beach, California. We never know, even Temecula. Well, we have a brand new baby in Brownsmead. And you may have a brand new baby in your community, so this song can go out to you, too. I'm sending this out to the Roan family. And Ellen, our newest little baby girl in Brownsmead. Welcome to the world.
You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato, they dug you up. You come from underground. The world is big, so big, it's very big. To you, it's new to you. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. They dug you up. You come from underground. Talk about root crops.
They dug you
and lamb chops.
They chew on you.
And things to eat like apples and cheese and bananas and cream, jellies and butter. It's late at night. I hope this little bottle helps you go to sleep. They must have grown you wild to make a grown man a child. I'll go and play mud to be with you, my spud potato. When you came out looking red as a beet, you had wrinkles on the bottoms of your feet.
Oh, oh, now you are so sweet potato. You're my sweet potato. You're my sweet potato.
Dug you up. You come from underground.
Well, that sounds just about right, all those good potatoes that we plant and dig. And this time, we dug up a little girl for our community. And I know that congratulations go out all the way around. And to wherever your new baby is, congratulations to you folks, too. Well, as I mentioned, it's a very busy time. It's almost overwhelming, actually. But we are thrilled that our community supports so much of the arts. And my first guests are from the Coaster Theater, which is opening a play tonight. And the play is Veronica's Room by Ira Levin. Now, if you're not sure, well, I never heard of that. And Ira Levin sounds familiar, but who is he? I'll just say that he is the famed suspense writer, this is a quote, of Rosemary's Baby and Stepford Wives. So I think you now have an idea of where we're going with this. But I'm going to let my guests, who look like lovely people, so I'm not quite sure, but this play is apparently spine-chilling, edge-of-your-seat psychological thriller. I don't know. It's like, wow. Do you have to be 21 and over to see this play?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But so it does have adult themes.
It does. Okay. There you go. That was the voice of Pia Shepherd. And welcome, Pia.
Thank you. It's
and
good to be here.
You have many roles at the Coaster Theater. why don't you tell us what your official, outside of this play?
What my
job is?
Oh, I do a little marketing. I do a little box office. I do a little catering. I do a little cleaning.
That's what I mean, a little bit of everything. However, this tonight, Pia is opening in the show, mm-hmm. Veronica's Room, and so is Aaron Goodman. And welcome, Aaron. Have you been on the radio before?
No, I'm a first timer.
Oh my God. A radio virgin.
Totally.
We have one right here. Congratulations.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the family.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you here. So can one of you tell us a little bit about Veronica's Room, the play?
You want to go ahead?
Sure, Pia. I can tell all of our listeners that it is truly that. It is a suspense psychological thriller. I think that the audience will definitely take a journey with the characters in the play. I think they'll be surprised. I think they might be shocked in a few ways, but it is certainly edge of your seat, keep you wondering for the entire time. Ira Levin has a brilliant way of mixing and twisting and turning and keeping everybody always at an arm's length away, so that you never quite know exactly how it's all going to unfold, which as an actor makes for a lot of fun in a show.
Now, did you audition specifically for the show for a reason, or you were just ready to be in a show, or did someone invite you? I had this work for you, because you're a young person.
Yes.
In addition to being a radio virgin. Go on.
Thank you. That's such a nice compliment.
Yes.
So every couple of years, I find a show that resonates with me, that a part seems to challenge me in ways that I haven't been challenged, and this time was just that. Of course, we always have to audition for the shows, but when I heard that Julie Akers was going to be the director and that I might possibly get to play opposite some of my most favorite people, I definitely jumped at the opportunity to audition and to see if I was possibly right for the role.
And so you had a specific role in mind.
Yes, for sure.
So did you know the play before, or did you just
read it, yeah.
Freaked out and said, that's my
little
play.
Little bit, exactly like that, yes.
Great. And you live in Astoria, so this isn't like right out, you go out the front door and you're there.
And no, it's a time commitment.
Yes, it is.
For sure. It's a labor of love, and that's why, busy schedule, being adult with responsibilities and full-time job, you pick and choose carefully, but you definitely want to continue the love that I have for theater, and I never want to give that up. So it's worth it for me to make the drive.
Have you been doing theater much of your life? Or
my entire life, yes.
Did you grow up here or no?
I did, yes.
Oh.
In fact, I started actually acting at the Coaster Theater when I was 13.
Oh, my goodness.
And went away to college, studied theater in college, and then came home. And working a job completely unrelated to theater, so it's so much fun for me to get to.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Seaside High School, actually.
Okay, so there. I don't know whether there was a theater program when you were there. There is now, but
It was just only did a couple shows a year.
Right. Well, it's great that you held on to your interest and had the Coaster close enough.
I yes, mean, so. For sure.
Excellent. Now, Pia, you are not a radio virgin.
No.
And you're of a bit more mature age. And I know you've been doing theater forever, whether it's, being a mom and being a teacher and on stage as well, though.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been on stage for a long time?
Oh, I'd say maybe 20 years, maybe 30, but with breaks, breaks to have kids and do other things. And
And I've seen you in a number of shows at the Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
What about this show appealed to you?
Well, this show is kind of special because I get to play a bunch of different roles, sort of one person with playing a couple different roles, and that's kind of fun because they're so totally different. And
do you actually change costumes?
I change costumes.
Wigs?
Yes.
Or so we might not even recognize you.
Hopefully not.
Okay. Now, that's kind of interesting. Watch for that.
Very
folks.
Interesting. Yeah. And then also one of the characters is not particularly nice, so that it's always that's always
fun.
Nice to play someone who's,
as long as people actually know you.
And, right.
Because I've had experiences when I've actually avoided someone for an entire year.
Oh,
because they did such a good job at being a rotten person on stage. So we don't want to do that. So you mentioned Julie Akers. She is the director. Who is she? Is she from here? Or?
Well, she's she used to be a Portland director and a teacher at Portland State and Portland Community College, and moved to Texas. But she's directed here for, oh gosh,
a number of years.
Yeah, so she's the one who comes back every once in a while. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who so she is.
She actually directed last year's February show also.
Right.
And
I think she has been on this show then, because I remember the idea that she comes all the way from Texas.
Yes.
And does this, which is terrific.
Yeah.
Who else is in the play?
Patrick Lathrop and Joseph Oyola, who actually, Erin.
Yes, oddly enough, I was, about 10 or 12 years ago, when Joe was still in high school, I had the pleasure of directing him at one of Seaside High School's productions. And so that was, it was kind of interesting to be able to play opposite him now, all these years later.
Wow. And that was a production that Seaside brought to the Coaster Theater.
To the Coaster Theater, exactly.
Now, wait a second. How is it that you were directing a play at Seaside?
Well, I came back home after college with my degree in theater, and I wanted to volunteer at the time to continue, obviously.
So you just said 12 years ago. So you're not as young as you look, eh, Ju? Okay, Erin, the plot is thickening here.
Let's not talk about age.
No, she's still very young, folks. But you know, you're giving all these little cues here. So Veronica's Room is opening tonight, and it runs through the 23rd. And here's the schedule, folks. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. Now, this is, I actually called the theater to make sure that this was right, even though it was in the paper, in the KMU, because you always start at 8.
We have in
now,
the past.
Now, is this a longer play? Or you
No. It's actually not a long play at all. We just, all of our shows, we just decided that for the 2013th season, we would have a different curtain time.
Okay.
A lot of the Portland theaters have the 7:30 curtain time.
And that's interesting. Okay.
Might make it a little easier for people, and everyone will go home a little earlier.
I thought you were going to say because it was a scary play and you wanted people to be able to have fun before they go to bed and have nightmares or something. So, but no, you're changing your time. So that's an important note, that the Coaster Theater curtain time is now 7:30. So it's Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. Then there's a talk back Thursday, which is always fun. Do you enjoy those too?
Oh, yes. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As the actors do too.
Yes, to be able to answer questions.
As an audience person, I really appreciate that. That's on Thursday the 21st. And then there are two matinees, which is lovely, on the 10th and the 17th at 3 p.m. And the number for the Coaster Theater is 503-436-1242. And you can book your tickets there. Now, I heard you say that Patrick is in this play.
Yes, he is.
And you're in this play.
Yes, I am.
So who's doing the... who's selling tickets? Is this a free show?
No, Patrick is still selling tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm selling them occasionally. Craig is selling them right now.
I see. Okay. This is... you got to pass the... And speaking of Patrick, we have another Patrick. We have another event coming up at the
Patrick Lamb. Mm-hmm. Saxophonist, songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day, 7:30 concert. And he's quite a terrific musician and should be a fun concert.
And that's a Thursday this year. So the Valentine's Day, you can celebrate it at the Coaster with Patrick Lamb. Yeah, he looks like there's a lot of life in him.
Oh, boy, gosh, there is. Yeah, he's terrific. Yeah,
that's great. So what else is happening at the Coaster? You mentioned that the new time is 7:30. I didn't get one of the...
You didn't get our brochure?
I didn't.
So. I brought a whole bunch up
here
today.
Oh, good. Excellent. What's your next
Well, the next show is Around the World in 80 Days. It's an adaptation of the Jules Verne play, and it's, I think there are 9 cast members who play 39 different characters. I mean, there are a few stock characters.
Oh, my. Okay.
But, so that should be a lot of fun. And then in May, we're doing 84 Charing Cross Road, which was also a movie with Anne Bancroft.
I see a theme here, 180 days, 84
Charing Cross Road.
What's that? Okay.
I also wanted just to mention one thing about tonight. It's that since it is our opening night, we have a no-host wine tasting by the Wine Shack at 6:45 in the lobby, and then curtain at 7:30, as we've said. And then following the show, there'll be a complimentary champagne dessert reception
That's always fun, folks, because there's also desserts that go with the champagne. I'm in for that. By the way, is your talk back Thursday also 7:30?
It is also
7:30. Okay, good. So it's 7:30 all the way along except the matinees
except
are at
the
3.
Matinees, yeah.
Okay, now, I let you get away with this, but now, can you give us a little bit of the story of Veronica's Room, just without giving too much away?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could tell a little bit.
Okay.
Go ahead, Susan.
I know you didn't want to. Yeah.
So I play a young woman by the name of Susan, and I'm on a date, and I meet this lovely couple who tells me that I look very much like a relative of theirs, and they ask me to come back and look at pictures and see her things. And I find myself trapped, literally and figuratively, in their stories and in the memories of this young woman. So,
Don't answer if you think this is too much. But do they actually? Do they and or you actually transform, or are they nefarious folk who are doing this for a reason?
They're a charming elderly Irish couple who Susan to play Veronica so that
Veronica back.
Veronica's sister, Sissy, who's dying, will see that Veronica is not really angry with her.
They're well intentioned. Really,
they are very well intentioned.
It is. So, what could possibly go wrong?
So, how does it become a spine chilling, edge of your seat psychological thriller? It sounds so sweet.
It does.
But it's not.
But it's not.
No.
Okay. No.
Well, so you're the the lead, aren't you, Erin?
I am. I suppose if you want to, it's hard to say that with a four-person cast.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all integral to the production. But my character, I think, is the one that communicates most with the audience. I'm the one that transports them on their journey. Mm. So if I'm not, I guess if I don't convince them of the things that I need to do,
but
then
you will.
I can
tell from the way you're looking at me right now. I'm scared already. My gosh. Hey, it's great. I'm so glad you came in. And this sounds like for a mature audience, a must-see play.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like kind of a classic when you have a play by someone who is so well-known, even if it's not his name that's well-known, it's his work that's well-known.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not familiar with Veronica's Room, so I'm looking forward to seeing it as long as I maybe have a friend next to me whom I can grab when I get scared, you know, kind of thing. So thanks so much for coming in. Okay, folks, so again,
thank you, Carol.
Opening
thank
tonight, you. February 1st, running through the 23rd, Fridays and Saturdays, 7:30, talk back Thursday, the 21st. And then Sunday matinees, the 10th and the 17th, all in February. And then a special side treat is on Valentine's. That's a Thursday. Patrick Lamb, jazz saxophonist and singer. And everything at 7:30 except the matinees. Thanks so much for coming in. My guests, Erin Goodman and Pia Shepherd.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, break your legs. Oh, wait, Pia. I better not say that to Pia. She already did. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Okay, it wasn't my fault, though, at least that time. Have a great show.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9, KTCB 89.5. Stay tuned. We have some more Cannon Beach folks coming up next. But first, I have some music from Professor Gall. He's a terrific performer and a delightful person. And this is tomorrow night at the Big O Saloon, which is in Olney. The name of this piece, The Unknown Artist.
For fear of being torn in two, he'll try and tear and rip a
new place for his heart. 'Cause his heart's been lost in a promise, that promise of love. And bank accounts and the shadow of wealth looms over, and his unfinished art collects dust in the basement. The walls seem mildew and rust, unexplained rust, and a hust dust fills his head. The unknown artist is a time bomb, but time has been blown away. There's no light left in that dusty basement. Most of the time, people think he's being rude. When he's under the sun, he's longing for the darkness.
Oh, that's Professor Gall. And again, he'll be at the Big O Saturday. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. And this is a new album, I believe it's... Well, it's 2010. It's not quite as new, but I hadn't seen it. It's called The Psychology of Booze and Guilt. Sounds lovely. but this piece is The Unknown Artist, and it's got a fantastic drawing on the back as well. So, okay. Ready to roll here. Okay. Yeah, this is Carol here at Arts Live and Local. And my guests, as I mentioned, are from Cannon Beach. And the theater aspect just left. And now we have the visual arts. And this is the Cannon Beach Gallery is opening a show called Sacred and Profane, The Art of Collage, with four Oregon artists, Eunice Parsons, Liz Cohn, Grace Sanchez, and my guest, Rex Amos. Hi, Rex.
Hello, Carol.
It's good you're here. It's been a while.
Well, yes, I hope I'm better prepared this time than the last time.
Oh, I don't remember, so don't tell us.
I will. We were going to do a River Sutra, and I got confused and thought we were going to talk about the Kama Sutra.
So, he's lying, folks. I bet he's lying. But on the other hand, the name of that album I just played is The Psychology of Booze and Guilt. So maybe you're coming from somewhere. Yeah. I'm not so sure. Well, my other guest is Andrea Mace, who is the director of the gallery, the Cannon Beach Gallery. Welcome, Andrea.
Hello, Carol.
You know, you don't make mistakes like that. But Andrea's visits for a couple of years were really fun because we had a little guy with us, didn't we?
Yes.
And he's all grown up now, huh?
Four and a half.
Yeah, that's all grown up.
He wanted to come today, but he's in Manzanita Plain instead.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So this show is opening tomorrow night, is the reception from 5 until 7. The show runs, I guess, is it up already today?
It is, and it looks absolutely spectacular.
Wonderful. It's up through the end of the month, the 28th. So Andrea, why don't you give us an overview of the show, and then I'd like Rex to talk about what he's doing.
Certainly. Well, I'm personally a huge fan of collage, and especially really good collage, and that's what we have represented here. Eunice Parsons is kind of our celebrity in the show. She's a 96-year-old artist from Portland and has the reputation of being a real spitfire. It sounds like Rex has a long-standing relationship with her.
Wow.
She was a painter for many years in her career, but has been doing collage for how long do you think, Rex?
Well, since the late 60s, she has. Yeah. I started in the late 50s.
So okay.
She's 96, but I'm 77, so maybe I'm older than she is in collage.
In collage years, like cat years. Ooh, yes.
That's a cool concept. Yes. I like it. So.
And so she'll be at the reception tomorrow night, which we're excited about. She's coming down with Liz Cohn, who is also a Portland artist and a gallery owner, who we had last year in a really neat collaborative show with these little playing cards.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yes, and then we have Grace Sanchez, who has a real painterly aesthetic, but in collage. So it's a lot of figurative work with tiny pieces of paper rendering the figure, and they're very elegant. And then, of course, Rex had a really...
Of course.
Of course.
Of course, Rex, yes.
We know who the profane was.
Yes, his Shin Kole. And actually, Rex was the inspiration, in my mind, for the title of the show, Sacred and Profane, because he has been known to shake things up in the Cannon Beach art world.
How could I tell?
and beyond, what I understand.
I was going to ask you about the title of the show, Sacred and Profane. The art of the collage I got, that's pretty... You know, pretty straightforward, but...
Well, I guess last year, just a note on collage, last year was the 100th birthday of collage. So we're entering the next 100 years of collage making. And I think collage in itself is you're taking sometimes sacred objects like text or books and dissembling them and then reassembling them into a piece of art. But also Rex's work in particular, I was like, I want Rex in a show, and I like this title, and let's see what happens. So
okay, now let's turn it over to Rex. I have to say, the way you just described that, that's one of my problems, because I also really appreciate and enjoy collage, and I've done some myself, but I often have a problem. Dissembling was the word you used, like ripping pages out of books or cutting up fabrics or tearing the, so, because I'm so involved in the folk aspect, the cultural aspect of things, that sometimes, you know, for example, the hat Rex is wearing, I could never dissemble that in order to, you know.
No, you should take books or magazines, things that are have been ruined, or someone else, collectors will often take out etchings and really destroy a book. And I come across a lot of those and use material, but a dentist or a doctor's office is a good place to get ads. You know, you can ask sometimes, but often...
Right, right. You know, hey, I've got a pile for you. We'll talk about that later. So tell us now, you started in the 50s? Doing
the late 50s. I was in Big Sur,
working
in the Big Sur Inn, and... had nothing to do except watch the pack rats carry dishes around. So I finally started carrying things around. We were in a junk pile out in the back of the shack I was living in and started constructing things. So they became like assemblages, which I found out about when I went to New York and saw the Art of Assemblage show at the Museum of Modern Art.
Is that that's what and you were doing?
Yeah.
It suddenly had a name for it.
And there were a lot of collages in that show. And so
Were you involved in the arts before?
No, I was in case you couldn't tell, a philosophy English major. I never studied art.
But, okay.
Except through my friends and reading and looking and doing.
Well, but I have this picture of you from the 60s.
I want to make a...
Don't you love that?
I love
the original Rebel.
I love it, yes.
I want to make a quick personal note to my wife. Diane and I are having a simultaneous moment.
Oh.
While I am making waves here,
yes,
she is playing Chopin's Ocean at the Peace Lutheran Church with the Friday Musical Club.
Right here in Astoria.
Yeah.
Oh,
at
how
this moment,
sweet.
At 3:30,
so you're both.
She's playing.
And such diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another one of those magical moments.
Right.
So tell us, what do you do? In collage, how do you make your collage? What materials do you use, or however you want
to
describe it?
Well, I've done junk sculpture for years. Junk sculpture, which another word.
Junk sculpture, okay.
I had a dump license. You go out to the city dump, and it was called a wood license, but they let you go into the other parts of the dump and get things. It's like cardam, but with being very messy. Mm-hmm. That was in Portland. And I construct these large sculptures, wall sculptures. And then other artists got wind of it, and so they took away all our licenses. So I had to start doing something else. Oh. And I started doing collage. And do you want to know how I do it?
Is sure. That it? Whatever, you know, whatever well, you would like to share with us. Are you going to do one right
here? I came across a letter yesterday that I written in 1991 to some people I work with in California. And I just said, even though they are collages, they're one of a kind, and it takes a lot of effort to do them right. I'm not a pump artist. Each work takes months in advance by my going through hundreds of magazines for material. Then there's the cutting out of each page, the general area of the images that somehow excite me. And that could be even sensually excitement, of course, or politically. Mm-hmm. A lot of anti-war stuff. Through the 60s, I was, did nothing but protest art.
Right on.
And after that comes the fine cutting that can drive me nuts. Hours of snip, 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 snip. Then comes the layout, which happens somewhat magically as the collage comes together from the thousands of images strewn at random on the table in boxes, folders, cartons, tins, etc. Then each piece has to be glued methodically, carefully, conscientiously, almost religiously.
Oh, wow.
And here I have paused because I always think of Woody Allen when he said, if there's a God, I hope he has a good excuse. then you have to keep the glue from squirting out and screwing things up. It's almost as if I become an acrobat of the brush as I paint glue under each little structure or use tweezers to place little dots of blood, sweat, and tears to the composition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lest I forget, some of the paper is very shiny, so I have to turn it over and take fine sandpaper and sand it so the glue won't roll off, ball up.
Right.
Then you place it down and you put a plate of glass over that area you've collaged. And then you get a stack of National Geographic magazines and put on top of the glass.
Right.
So folks can't tell where
I see what
the
you're
edges
saying.
Are.
Right.
And that's what Hunt
it's very
Ender
seamless.
Is.
Right. The blend.
So it's slow, it's tedious, and very rewarding.
Yeah, well, and thank you, because when I said, you know, I've dabbled in that too, but you've just given us the process too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, everybody has their own, but this is excellent because there's really some. Do you find sometimes that just something you see in a magazine will spark your interest and start something, or do you start with something you want to say?
No, never. And in fact, I don't have anything categorized. Joseph Cornell is a famous collage artist. A lot of people are influenced by him. He would keep boxes organized with, flowers, you know,
like
bugs,
quilters.
Whatever.
Yes, right.
My studio is totally chaos. And if I drop a little, like a, I'm going to glue a bug on something, and if I drop it into that mess, I can't find it.
Right.
I said, where'd that go? So I have to paw through it, and I'll find something else. And say, well, that's better.
Okay.
Because it's a creative accident.
Right.
You have to let that accident happen all the time.
Right.
And if I impose
this is great.
Too much of my so-called intellect or whatever on it.
Let
Andre Henry say something.
I just want to say that I was asked, you know, what is the value of art? And I think what you just said, boom, there's the essence right there, that creative aspect. And that's what we have to do in our lives all the time. You walk out the door and, you know, something happens and you need to be able to, improvise and be creative right there. So it works.
Well,
so are your pieces, what kind of sizes are they?
Well, they're 2 feet by 32 by 20, maybe, something like that.
Okay.
And some of them. And one's a box piece with the Madonna, which I call Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary.
Okay.
It has a little, like, break in case of an emergency.
Nice. So all of the are most of the pieces though two dimensional. That's what I was gonna.
We just have Rex as one assemblage piece mm-hmm. in the gallery, which is kind of a hand carved.
It's a
cross.
Well, that's
staff?
The crozier. It's the Pope's staff,
mm-hmm.
and I carved the hand. And it's holding, and I carved the cross, and then I found a rat skeleton, and I glued the rat skeleton on. It looks like a crucifixion.
I see.
And it's a very powerful, wonderful piece,
actually. So now I'm hearing that you also do wood sculpture.
Some,
yeah. That piece is from the 60s, right?
Yeah,
so, 68. Yeah. Quite often at the gallery we have really new work, but there's mm-hmm. some, this is kind of a retrospective in some ways.
Right.
Both Eunice
and...
have
old artists, it's hard to have new work.
Some older work. Really? And I will say, there's a lot of ways to approach collage. What Rex does is called Shin Kole. The four different artists in the show all approach the art very differently.
Nice.
Rex is known as a scissors man. He works with scissors that are used in eye surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Eunice Parsons tears her paper. Mm-hmm. Liz Cohn is more of assemblage. Mm-hmm. And then Grace Sanchez uses these tiny pieces of paper to reconstruct figurative, just beautiful, like, interiors with figures in them.
I know it's going to be a very exciting show. The show opens tomorrow evening. The reception is 5 to 7. They also changed their time a few months ago. And it runs through the end of the month. This is the Cannon Beach Gallery. Mm-hmm. And the is there a contact or an email? Or website?
Yes, definitely. There's www.cannonbeacharts.org. And actually, following the gallery on Facebook is a really good way to get up-to-date information about what we're doing. Currently, we're open Thursday through Mondays.
Okay.
And I have to say one last thing. We have a tribute for Matt Glavin, who just died. And he is the fellow we...
Oh, yes.
And he was a wonderful abstract expressionist artist.
Beautiful.
We're going to have a display of his
one of his
large pieces at the
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations on the show, Rex.
All
and
right.
Andrea, who is the director of the Cannon Beach Gallery. Rex Amos is my other guest. He's my artist guest here today. Andrea is also an artist, but not in this show. Sacred and Profane, The Art of Collage with four Oregon artists. And don't miss it in Cannon Beach. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you,
Carol.
Okay. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And I've got a little music from Short Pockets. And that's because they are going to be at the Fort George on Sunday. Have a listen and stay tuned. Thank you. Oh yeah, let her go, let her go, let her go. Well, that is Short Pockets, and again, they're going to be at Fort George this Sunday. But we have another reason to say let her go, because I have a couple of dancers here, and they are letting go. Jessamine Grace and Trixie Gunn are here with me. Hi.
Hello.
And Jessamine is with the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, and Trixie is with iHeart Performing Arts Academy. I'm still getting used to saying that out loud, but I'm working. I'm doing okay. And they're basically, this is their winter showcase, is on Wednesday the 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. at their new location, 342 10th Street on the second floor. That's a fabulous space. I know that space. So you two, you brought your organizations together.
Yes.
How's that working?
It's fantastic.
It's a beautiful marriage.
Oh, sweet. We got
since
two redheads here.
Legal now. Yeah. No, it's
not
seems...
this state. It isn't. But go on.
Work on it. We'll just jump over
yeah,
the river.
Right. Exactly.
It was a very natural transition. Trixie had this whole group of students and classes and her vision, and then myself with the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. So the collaboration with the MOVE just sort of really unfolded very naturally and allowed us to really focus on our goals for the two organizations.
So what's the difference between your organizations?
Well, I think primarily it would be... iHeart Performing Arts Academy focuses on preteens and teen dance education, and a lot of it is the more formal training that you would think of, ballet, jazz, musical theater, tap, that kind of thing. And then
the Astoria Arts and Movement Center is a lot of community classes. iHeart has community classes as well, but all of our classes are...
And what are the dance forms?
We do have ballet, we've got karate, we've got Zumba, belly dance, all kinds.
Jazz.
Yeah, modern jazz. Wow.
Okay, now how do people find out the schedules here?
They can go to either of our websites, so iHeartPerformingArtsAcademy.com.
Okay,
or
the whole thing.
The whole shebang. or the other long one is AstoriaArtsAndMovementCenter.com.
Okay. And this is 342 10th Street on the second floor. Now, we've seen Jessamine dancing all over the place. you're a Middle East dancer, or some people say belly dancer. And Trixie, what's your dance background?
Well, my entire life I've been very involved with musical theater. My roots are definitely in ballet, Cecchetti Ballet, for those who know about that. And as I got older, I developed more of a taste for comedy, musical theater, singing, acting, that kind of thing. So I have a really wonderful, well-rounded history.
How long have you been here in this town?
7 years, I believe.
Okay.
You go on eight. Yeah.
Well, you know, because Hitchin folks are coming on next, you could have, you know, slipped right into that.
In
your spare time. You know.
Right.
Next production, we'll find out. So what are people going to see at the Winter Showcase?
Well, it's going to be an evening of performances and also demonstrations from our instructors. So it's going to be a great way to come and find out more about what classes we teach.
Mm-hmm.
So demos and performances in ballet, jazz, Zumba, ballroom, belly dance, karate, all kinds of stuff.
And from what Trixie said, it sounds like it's going to be all age. Because you're talking about
youngsters. Our youngest is 9.
9 years old. Okay, so and goes all the way up, I'm sure.
Well,
and now I had a recommendation from one of our other programmers. Who is that person who leads one of your classes?
Nayeli Dalida. She's amazing, and she couldn't be here today. She has three boys, and I think they're enjoying the sun today. She's going to do a Zumba demonstration, and her classes have been doing really well.
Tell us what Zumba is in one sentence, if you can.
It's a Latin dance workout party.
Well, sounds great. And she is a Mexican American.
She is.
She's very in tune to the music music and appreciates it. The person who mentioned it is actually is one of our hosts for Sonidos Latinos, which is on Thursday nights, and said it's a great class. So.
Yeah, there's Spanish-speaking people in the class, too, so and all are welcome.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for coming together. I love when the arts cooperates and makes it better for the whole community. Again, this is Jessamine Grace and Trixie Gunn from Astoria Arts and Movement Center and iHeart Performing Arts Academy. You'll tell me about that name someday, but not right now. 7 to 9 on Wednesday, February 6th at their new space, 342 10th Street. That's between what two streets?
It's just between...
It's a corner of commercial. 10th and Commercial.
Yeah.
The front door faces 10th, and it's on the second floor of that lovely building with the arched windows.
And the door up is on 10th, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So if you can't find it, check out their websites and enjoy. This will be great for to find out what you're actually doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
And my last guest, as I mentioned... I'm going to put a little bit of music on, and show opens on Thursday, the Hitchin, which is being put on by the Partners for the PAC. It's a benefit for the Performing Arts Center, one more of those venues in Astoria that we need to keep open. Have a listen. Thanks. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Just because we got the mind, don't make us cry.
People all over the world are looking to the USA as a place where differing cultures live together every day. Known to many peoples as the land of opportunity, they flock to our shores and often end up in poverty.
Just because we got the mind, don't make us right. We could be in the wrong, despite being so strong. Never knowing what to expect.
With Howie's song in the background from the musical Hitchin, I do want to tell you just a couple of other things that are happening so I can let these guys talk their way out. Tonight, again, the Coaster Theater is opening Veronica's Room at 7:30. Astor Street Opry Company is opening the New Works Festival, which runs through February 16th. It's running Fridays and Saturdays, also at 7:30, 129 West Bond. And it's an excellent opportunity to see new original works. Hans Araki and Catherine Clare are at the Sand Trap at 7 to 9 tonight. Gordon Styler, that's our own Gordo, Memorial Bazaar Benefit, is for Astoria's Homeless Riverwalk Cats, is at Safe Harbor Animal Hospital Monday through Friday, including today till 5:30, and then Saturday 8 to 2. Auditions for Peninsula Has Talent, Cannon Beach Gallery, Mix and Mingle from 6 to 8:30 with Wes Warmond. Manzanita Writing Weekend starts tonight at the Center for Contemplative Arts in Manzanita. And the Bay City Arts Center has an arts reception at 5 to 7 and an entertainer showcase from 7 on. Jason Okamoto at Vino Manzanita. Dragolution, if you haven't seen it yet, get there tomorrow night. I'll be there. See if you can recognize me. Seaside Art Walk is tomorrow night with Hold Fast and Fair Weather, all the galleries in Seaside. And the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum is featuring Sid Snyder, friendly grocer and gentleman legislator, along with Jeff Burlingame's book signing at The Artisan. Professor Gall at the Big O tomorrow night. This is all tomorrow night. Cannon Beach Gallery, Astoria's Historic Building Styles at the Historical Society, Trails End and Gearhart 2 to 5. The Riversea Gallery is having a first night of Metamorphosis. It's the Clatsop Community College Art Faculty Show. It's 4 till 7. 4 till 7 tomorrow. You can do that and still do everything else. Peninsula Arts Center is hosting the Northwest Arts Artist Guild as Gallery 504. Second Saturday Market Art Reception at Star Photography in Tillamook. And Imbolc is Wanderland Rainforest. Sunday, Arnica Quartet, Chamber Music at the McTavish Room at the Liberty. Old-timey duo Short Pockets, you just heard them. Labyrinth Walk, 3 to 6. The Assistance League is having a fabulous benefit, Accessorize with Assistance League. It's an amazing organization, helps kids. And Hitchin is opening on Thursday, and I got people here to tell you about it.
It don't make us right.
That's what you call timing.
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
Yet. I know. That's why you're going to talk fast,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
The voice you just heard on the song, however, was?
Ned Heavenrich.
Oh, and there he is, yeah, right now. Ned Heavenrich is also the creator of this incredible, wonderful musical that is opening as a benefit for the Performing Arts Center. Ned, where did this thing come from? Tell us.
It came from somewhere in my mind. And I put it down over a couple of winters, like 15, 16, 17 years ago.
Mm.
And it's been around. This is the fourth incarnation.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. And it's back at the Pack, which is great because you have all that space up there for dancing and protesting and
right.
Yeah,
we had
visuals.
We had someone on the show today who was one of those people in the 60s, and I told him he must come and see the show, you know. Rex Amos, he was there in the 60s doing his thing, protesting, holding the sticks even. I said, hey, come on, do. We also have Bob Goldberg here, who is in the show, but also is the production manager. And he's the guy who brought the play to the Partners for the Pack, which is the user groups who are trying to keep this fabulous space open for the community, since the college apparently ran out of money. So, Bob, thank you. Bob is also a programmer here. Oh, he's my alter ego on Tuesdays, as a matter of fact.
See you Tuesday.
And I have Bree Bish here. Hi, Bree.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Carol.
Have you done a lot of theater?
No, I haven't done theater since I was 12 years old, but I performed at the Pack in The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, directed by Mary Davies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how fun. And now you're back.
Yes, back at the Pack.
Back at the Pack. And what made you think to do this?
Well, I had some connections.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think?
A little bit? The Ned Heavenrich happens to be my father-in-law, so I was coerced into trying out, and my mother-in-law offered to cook dinner for me every night when I was at rehearsal, so.
Sounds like a win-win.
It was.
And the other thing is, I understand you have a gorgeous voice, which is why they were coercing you, because they wanted you in.
Yeah. We're certainly glad she's here.
Yes, we are. And Jordan Okanowski.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Hey.
Hey, what made you decide to try out for this?
Honestly, I just kind of did it as a favor to Ned. I don't know.
Jeez, Ned, it's a good thing you got a lot of friends out here, huh?
It is, yeah. You don't want to make many enemies around this
Not
area.
This town. It's too small a town. So how is it going, Jordan? Nobody's listening. You're just between you and me.
All right, how's it going? It's going really well. It's going really well. Everyone's getting everything together. I'm finally learning my dance moves and my lines.
Are you a dancer, a natural born dancer?
I mean, to some degree. Choreography is not really my thing.
I see.
More, you know, popping, locking, breaking on the street, you know, sort of thing. But it's fun.
But now that you're dancing with other people, you have to kind of get it together.
Marco's got good vision, I can say
that
for
Marco
sure.
Yes, Marco Davis, who is the Dragalution guy, is also the choreographer for this show. However, this show is is not being done in drag. Well, I don't know for sure. I'm not going to say anything.
Interesting costumes, yes, let's just say that.
Lena Smith is doing the costumes. Well, who knows what she's going to come up with? That's true. Jane Osborne directing and Allison... Yes.
Wills King.
Allison Wills King is the music director. So there's a lot of music in this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a musical.
Well, that may be why.
And I just have to say this. Jordan sings a song that you could not tell if he was Elvis Presley or not, if you were not present.
Wow.
It's a song that he sounds exactly like Elvis Presley.
Oh, my gosh.
So you got to see this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to endorse that. This is a must-see production. It is happening 6 times, so there's plenty of time for you to get there. But the sooner you go, the better, because once you go, you're going to want to come back or tell your friends to come with you or however it works. It opens on Thursday evening, the 7th. That's a week from last night. I don't want to scare you guys, but that's when it's happening. Then it runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Performing Arts Center is on 16th and Franklin, and you can get your tickets at the door, or
you can go to supportthepack.org, and you'll find a way to get tickets online.
Online. And then we'll have your tickets. You'll have your tickets, and you just walk through the door, and you're fine and dandy. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. And then the other possibility is the following weekend, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 15th, 16th, also at 7:30, and then on Sunday, the 17th at 2 p.m.
2 p.m., yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2 p.m. What should the audience know? Is this an all-age performance? Everybody's welcome?
Yeah, I think everybody's welcome. I think if you had really small ones, it might be a little trial to sit for, you know, it's basically a 2-hour show with the intermission.
And
so
how old is the youngest person in the show?
Emily Honnell, she is 9 years old, and she's a fantastic dancer.
Yeah. So I think it's a great thing to bring kids and for kids to see not just children's theater, but to see adult theater with children in it. And this is an all-age show. And so I like the idea. We're not talking about babies. Leave them home with Lorena will babysit all the babies in town. She signed up. Wait, no, that wasn't right. But really, it's the music is goes to the heart. There's some very poignant pieces in this, though, some serious and poignant pieces. How are you feeling about the work that you're doing, Bree, for example?
Yeah, I think I get to sing one of the best songs in the show, and so the pressure is on to perform that, but it speaks to me, and I think the themes are timeless, so even though it's set in the 70s, there's still
a lot of
meaning.
Tell us about that part, or you would rather leave it?
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Tell us.
My character is one of 3 gay women who Walt goes on a camping trip with, and Walt and she have a conversation about what it meant to be gay at that time, or how it felt to be gay, which kind of preludes her song. And it's just a beautiful song about acceptance and hoping for acceptance. And I think that's still a hope today for many of us. So,
And Walt.
Yeah.
What about you? You have the bulk of the play.
Yeah.
You're kind of on stage
pretty
a lot.
Pretty much in every scene, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there are a lot of themes in this play that are still relevant today, as we've been saying, tolerance, decency, things like that. And my character, you know, it's kind of him discovering these life lessons through seeing the world. And I think there's something to be said about that, you know. I think our experiences define who we are. And I think that really speaks for this play and for my character.
Have you, apropos of what you just said, have you learned some things from the play, actually?
Well... Definitely learned some dance moves. I don't know. I feel like it has stretched. Like, I've met people in this community again. I've kind of replugged myself back in. I think there are some things. I think there are a lot of themes in it that I've already agreed with. And so I can't say they're necessarily new, but I definitely back it all for sure.
I think Jordan's kind of timeless too.
Oh, shit.
And it's like sure. He was there too, you know?
Jordan, did you do, even though he wasn't born, it's true, he was there. Did you do theater when you were here in high school?
Yeah, I did actually. I did a lot. I did the Laramie Project, for instance, a lot of things.
Okay.
And yeah, and then I got to college and I kind of didn't do it as much. I did. I wrote a score for a play, but it feels good to be back doing it again.
Yeah.
For sure. It's fun. There's a good community in it.
Yeah. Just a quick plug for
please.
Musicians. So the orchestra, if you don't know, is basically the Brownsmead Flats, but we have three really great musicians joining us. Janet Bowler plays unbelievable flute. We have Tom Peake
on drums from the Bond Street Blues Band
and
every other band in
right,
town.
Fabulous. And then Kim Angelis will be sort of doing a cameo.
On a couple of violin pieces, yes. And let me mention that part of the reason, and I think it's fortuitous because I like opening on the Thursday night, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Performing Arts Center is because on Sunday, on the 10th, Kim Angelis and Josef Galt are doing their own benefit, as they've done for the last 4 years, dedicating themselves to the Performing Arts Center with a musical show. So you can just spend your several days there. It's definitely a must-see show, no matter what your age and stage in life, whatever you remember. Spread the word.